Nights we were talking about medicine, faith, and doctors, and actually spent four sessions on that. You know, over the years, you get asked a lot of different questions, but you know, one of the things we said is faith misplaced is a miracle missed. In other words, you should never, you know, just when it comes to medicine or doctors or anything else, thank God for doctors and medicine, but don't put your faith in the world system. Always trust God. Amen. I've utilized banks and so forth before. Of course, it's better if you just buy a brand new car for whatever and pay cash for it, don't have any payments. But I've utilized banks before, but my trust was in God. And God helped me get the car, helped me get a good car, helped me make all the payments, helped me pay it off early. Amen. Glory to God. And then I, you know, got two free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brand new, free. Everybody say free is good. Had three or four given to me, but free is good. Glory to God. And so, you know, you don't want to be like the Old Testament. You know, sometimes those kings would get in trouble because instead of trusting God, they would start counting their troops and they'd say, well, we've only got 200,000 and this enemy coming against us, they've got 400,000. Let's go to Egypt and get helped. And so God says, woe unto them that go into Egypt, type of the world, that trust in them instead of trusting in me. And so we made out the point that when it comes to doctors and nurses and medical science and research and so forth, it's not an either or situation. You can certainly be healed by your faith in God, but if you need medical help for whatever reason or medical help is offered to you and it's available and you feel good about it and in your spirit, then go. But go in faith. You know, it's not either or. Don't go in faith, trusting God, believing God, asking God to help the doctors and believing that the medicine or treatment or whatever will work for you. Because when you believe, you get results. Yes. So find out where you can hook up and where you can believe. Can you say amen? Yes. And of course, I want to say 1,000 things along those lines. But then we even said, you know, you might go to a doctor and they might say, well, you know, you've been dealing with something for 4 or 5 years and then it gets worse. And you go to a doctor and he says, well, it's this. We can go in, we can do the operation, we can take it out, we can give you this treatment and it'll all be taken care of. And you just feel good about it in your spirit. Well, then, you know, go in faith and believe God and be done with the thing. But then even then you might, what they're telling you might be absolutely the truth, but you still need to be led by the Spirit of God and He might lead you not to do a certain thing. You understand what I'm saying? Because I got to thinking, you know, there are so many, you know, sometimes somebody's going to start a new thing or a new church in town and angels are going to come fly around in the building every week and they're going to have miracles every service. You know, I constantly hear about miracles. But it's because people know the truth and act on the truth, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you. Constantly I hear about people that get supernatural revelation from God about their child, about their ministry. It's supernatural, but it's not happening. You know, the old saying, we miss the looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. It's supernatural, and it changes their child's life. It changes their business's life because they had revealed knowledge supernaturally from the Spirit of God and healings on a regular basis. But it wasn't that, you know, somebody was in a service and two angels jumped on top of them, but it happened. Margaret this morning has got some supernatural information, and you know, anybody can miss it, but I don't believe she did. I believe it's from God. She's got some supernatural information, revelation for somebody, but she's going to them privately and talk to them about it after the service. Amen. Well, those kind of things happen on a regular basis. Glory to God. But anyway, Brittany, I want you to come up here because as I was talking about healing and all these different things and doctors sometimes involved and sometimes not involved and you know, I had all kinds of people tell me testimonies, all kinds of people. I know my son-in-law Doug told me about, you know, Doug had back, I don't know, a year or two ago, he was just suddenly, and Doug said, you know, Heather knew something was wrong because she never sees me act like that. He was brought to his knees pain with a kidney stones. I mean, when he walked into the emergency room, you know, the doctor said, I know what your problem is. I've seen that look before. You've got kidney stones. Amen. And thank God he got help. Well, about a month later, he and I are going fishing together, you know. And he began to clam up and look up and he goes, oh my God. He goes, I know this happened to me just recently. I know what this is. And we pulled over to the side of the store and he went inside and I prayed for him and he stayed in there for a while and he came out and I'm thinking, well, how can I get him to emergency? What can I? And he says, I'm fine. I said, what? He goes, God touched me and healed me. I'm totally fine. Glory to God. Come up here where people can see you, baby. But tell a little bit about, there's so many different aspects of this story, but tell a little bit about what Coley was dealing with and then what happened with that one doctor, you know.
Okay. So I know I've told the testimony of how we took Coley in. She had had some issues. They had said she had lymphoma is what they had said. And I'm convinced that she did. Over a couple of days' time of us praying, we went in for the scans, and it showed completely different. And so we were in all this, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, then what is it? And that's a whole huge testimony in and of itself. But it was so funny because a month or two later, I can't remember the exact time, they had come up with what it possibly could have been. And it was possibly histoplasmosis, which is a bird disease. And I remember calling Sheila and telling her, well, they've said that it's histoplasmosis, which is a bird disease. And me and Sheila goes, a bird disease. And then we both just started laughing because it was just so, you know, all this. And now they're trying to say it's a bird disease. But anyways, it's a good testimony. But she had had surgery during that time so they could go in and do a biopsy of a lymph node that was infected or swelled up. And so they went in to go and see. Well, after the surgery, we're 6 months.
She had a cut right here in her neck.
She had a big lump. And so they went in and cut and went to see what that actually was. And 6 months later, after the surgery, she still has a hole in her neck that still leaks the lymph node fluid out of it. And so, and it's constant, it's aggravation. It's not really hurting her, but it, you know, it's aggravating. And so we've been praying and believing that it would heal up, you know, that it's healed in Jesus' name, that it has to close up. And there was, you know, several scriptures I'm standing on and we were standing on as a family. But we went to her, the disease specialist doctor, and she looked at it and she said, yeah, let me call the surgeon and let me see what they have to say about it. So the surgeon tells us that it's fine, you know, that necks take longer to heal than other parts of your body and that there's probably some tunneling there, but it would eventually heal up on its own. You know, usually within the year, you'll see it completely close up and heal. So then it comes to our year appointment. We go to the yearly appointment, and the disease specialist is like, you know, I think we need to see the surgeon. I think the surgeon just needs to look at this. This is not a normal situation. And in my mind, I was thinking, you know, like they had told me, you know, it's just tunneled and it needs to heal up. I wasn't thinking anything else is wrong or, you know, why isn't this healing up? You know, there's got to be something behind this. Or, you know, I was just thinking, you know, like the doctor had suggested, it just needs to heal up. It just takes time. And so we went to see the surgeon again, and she's like, oh, yeah, that should have been, you know, way more advanced than what it is. There's something wrong because it shouldn't continue to leak this fluid and it shouldn't stay open. So I don't know what we're going to do exactly, but I do know we need to go in surgically and, you know, take another look and see what's going on in there to cause this issue. And so I'm like, okay. So I went home and me and Terry, you know, talked about it. We prayed about it and we felt like it was good. You know, it was good with us.
There was one particular thing they wanted to do, and you said, no, we're not going to do that.
That was with another situation.
Right.
But yeah, there.
But nonetheless, the doctors told you, and you felt good about it, and you prayed for the doctor.
Yes, and we prayed. That's what
went
I was
in faith.
So we went, so I had, you know, there were scriptures I've been standing on from the very beginning of this, and I had a whole little index, you know, flippy thing of, you know, scriptures and confessions and stuff. And I didn't just like say them every single day, but there's, you know, scriptures I stood on and stuff. But there was the part at the end of the confession that I felt led to write by the Holy Spirit. But it said, and so I just pulled it out just so I could read it to you. It says, I believe that everyone who takes care of Coley works under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I believe for skillful people in our path. I believe for supernatural results. And so that's what I was praying for and believing for during this thing, because she didn't know exactly what she was going to go in and do. She just knew it something had to be done. And so my, you know, Proverbs 2:6 says, you know, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. So that's what I was speaking over the doctor, you know, that she would get her wisdom. I mean, I don't know anything about her, you know, her walk with the Lord. I don't even know if she was saved, you know, she was just a surgeon that was doing Coley's, you know, surgery. And so, but I know what I believe, and I know what Coley believes, and I know, you know, that God is the physician. He's the, you know, he's the healer. He's the, and so I just believed that under the anointing that she would work and she would be, we would get supernatural results based on our faith, not anything that she was doing, but what the Lord was working through her. And so when Coley went into surgery, and they were in there for longer than that they said that they were going to be in there for, and when she came out, she came out to talk to me and Terry in the room, she was just like, well, you know, things didn't go like I had planned, but it's all good. You know, everything's good. She's fine. She's in recovery. But she said, we got in there, and she said, we realized, and they had already talked to us about, you know, they might have to remove some lymph nodes, which is, I didn't know until this point that it's actually dangerous to remove lymph nodes because it could cause sections of them not to work. It could even cause all of them not to work because they work as units, apparently. And so that was like the last case, you know, they didn't want to do that. So, but that's what they ended up doing. They removed two lymph nodes. She said she cleaned out some scar tissue and that there was infection in there. And so she flushed out the infection and got it all cleaned up and, you know, felt okay. And she said, and then I started, oh, and another thing I forgot to mention was on the way to the hospital, when me and Terry and Coley were praying in the car going up to the hospital, I had, by the Holy Spirit, we were praying and I was speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden it came to me, Lord, you will give her the ideas that she needs. The ideas, you will place them, you know, so she knows exactly what to do when she gets in there. And so she said, I got ready to close, you know, the and suture up. And she said, and then I got to thinking, you know, I just don't feel, I don't know, something's, I think that I need to flush that out a little bit more. So she got a saline and vinegar solution and flushed it out some more. So she said, then I'm like, okay, let's close it up. She said, I'm getting ready. And she said, and then I thought, I just don't feel good about this. Like, there's something else I need to do. She goes, and then I had an idea. And I was like, okay, here's that idea. And so she said, then I had an idea. And she said, I told my surgical assistant, she said, I need you to call down to maintenance. Because I got to thinking, she said, you know, the infection that we were dealing with that was in the lymph node, she said, was a fungal type of infection. And she said, what kills fungal types of infection? She said, is bleach. She said, so I wanted my assistant to call down to the maintenance department and have them bring me a bottle of unopened bleach. And she said, my assistant thought this was crazy. And so, you know, he's like, I don't think, you know, we shouldn't be doing this, you know. And so she said, the nurse eventually called down and said, sure, we'll call down. So they called down and said, what was taking so long was they were waiting on maintenance to bring an unopened bottle of bleach to the doctor. Because what she, her idea was, if she could drop some bleach into where they had opened Coley up, that it would kill all that fungal stuff, and then it would be better. And so that's what she did. She took actual bleach and dropped it, you know.
Industrial,
and of course,
strength bleach.
Yes, industrial, you know, cleaning bleach. I'm sure it was different than like what we buy at the store, you know, because they're using it in hospitals. But yeah, and she dropped it, you know, with a syringe into Coley's neck. She told us how many, you know, whatever it was. You know, I'm like, and we're kind of, me and Terry's looking at each other. She goes, I know. She goes, it seems crazy, but I think it's going to work, you know. And I'm like, but immediately in my spirit come up how, you know, God spit in the dirt and rubbed the mud on the blind man. I was like, you know, God's ways are not our ways. And I was trusting in him for supernatural results. And so that's what I'm going to get from this. And her lymph nodes are going to work correctly and do what they're supposed to do. And so that's where we stood. And I knew from that moment on, we wouldn't have any issues. And we didn't tell a whole lot of people. I know I told Sheila, and I think I had told Mr. Tony at one time. You know, I didn't tell a whole bunch of people just because it leaked out to a couple of our family members, and one of them happens to be a nurse, and she was like, that's malpractice. You know, if she comes up with an infection, y'all need to call, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to cause any trouble there because I believe, You know, this was the wonder working power. You know, this was God working in her life. And it did. You know, here we are 2 years out. It closed up within the month, and it has been fine. She hasn't had any trouble. She was breaking out and all over her body in rashes for about 4 whole years straight, in rashes due to her lymph nodes not working correctly. And anytime she was attacked with anything, she would break out in a rash because her body didn't know how to cope with it. It would either tried to overfight whatever was going on in her body or not fight enough. And so that's not been an issue. From that point on, she's never broke out in another rash. She's had no other issues pertaining to her lungs or her lymph nodes or anything that has to do with that. And I believe that it was, you know, it was a miracle in and of itself, because we could have kept going on and not knowing and doing this, but because she had an idea from the Holy Spirit, not saying that she was trusting in God to guide her hands, because I have no clue what she was trusting in, but it was because of our heritage and what we knew and what we were believing and hooking up with the doctor to get this done, you know. And so it is, I feel like it is the physical realm and the spiritual realm sometimes, you know, work together.
Amen.
And I had thought about it when Pastor Mark was preaching his sermon. I think it was the third sermon, and he was talking about, you know, it shouldn't just be about going to the doctor. That's not your first, you know, response. It's in prayer, finding what the Lord wants you to do about a situation. And then once you do get the situation, it's all like, no, it's going to be taken care of now. No, you still have to keep your faith hooked up with what you're believing for.
Amen. 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 Give her a big hand. Praise God. Come in here. Heather, come up here real quick, because Wyatt's sitting right there, but we won't make him feel uncomfortable. But you had one issue with Wyatt, and the doctors were a little perturbed about you wouldn't follow their advice, but you didn't feel good about that in your spirit. And it all, and then another situation, you did use the doctors, and it all worked out. Both cases worked out wonderful.
Yes. Well, when Wyatt was just a little bit younger, probably 10 years old or younger, eight. He was having some trouble in his schoolwork and with different things. And anyways, through a series of tests, we had figured out it was something to do with his eyes, but it wasn't something that, like, eyeglasses could fix. It was actually the muscles in his eyes were not working correctly. And also, because this had happened to him when he was in his younger years and he had not formed some visual memory correctly as he was growing, because his eyes were not working correctly. And so now we're, you know, at a point where this is all piling up on him and he wasn't able to see as he should. And so I wasn't sure what I needed to do, but I got with supernaturally, really. I was at gymnastics with Lydia, and a lady sat down beside me and started talking about coming from eye therapy in Chattanooga with her kid and what was happening. And it was like boom, 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 exactly what we were dealing with. And I was like, that was God, you know, because I had never heard of this place and didn't know where to go. And so we went, and they said, you know, we can do this therapy. It was going to cost a lot of money. It was going to take about a year and a half to complete. And Doug and I talked about it. We felt at peace with it. And they were, you know, results vary. But we said, we're going to do this, and it's going to work for Wyatt. And we went through the whole entire process. We worked hard. We had to do hours of therapy at home, and it worked. And when he had started, even though he was 8 years old, his visual memory was that of a three-year-old. And when we finished the last session and they retested, his visual memory was that of an 18-year-old. So it worked, and we got the results, and we believe God. And I got scriptures about, you know, about having wisdom and having insight, and I believed that it was working. And we worked hard, and it was supernatural, the therapist working with us. God brought it about, and he's been high grade point average for years now, and making straight A's and all that's good. And, and so that was a fantastic thing where we had peace. We were like, this is God. This is what we're supposed to do. This is the doctors bringing us help. And then after that, when he was probably 12, he was on the basketball team. And I kept noticing that he kept wheezing, running down the court. And then he would get to coughing. and he couldn't stop, but he didn't have a cold. So I was like, what is going on? And so a lady beside me is a nurse, and she said, I didn't know why I had asthma. It's like, he doesn't. And she's like, that's what that is. And I was like, what? You know, well, we ended up having to go to the doctor a few months later. And the doctor said, he is completely, everything is swollen, blocked. He needs to go see a specialist. And we went to a specialist. He took a breathing treatment test. He couldn't pass it. They said he has asthma. And I was just like, you know, out of the blue, never had this before. And so I left that day with 5 prescriptions to be taken daily, and he's never taken anything. And I just didn't have peace about that. They were steroids, strong steroids. I did not want to put him on 5 prescriptions. And I just was like, no, I don't accept this sickness. This is not a part of our life. We're not taking this on. No, that was just, no, not doing this. And so, you know, I got the rescue inhaler filled, and I did not feel the rest of them. I left them. And so we went, had to go back in 6 weeks, and the doctor was a little perturbed with me. He said, he's worse than he was before. Well, you know, I've picked out scriptures. Isaiah 49:25 was one that I was standing on. It says, the Lord takes back the captives of the mighty, and he saves your children. And I was like, you know, asthma may be mighty, but my God takes back the captives. And it's not holding Wyatt captive. Absolutely not. And I had scriptures I was believing, scriptures that I found, the ones that spoke to me, the ones that inspired me, the ones that came alive to me as I was finding them. And so I pulled those scriptures out, and the doctor said, you know, I need you to take this serious. He could have a major attack and this and that. And I was like, okay, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not comfortable with all of these medicines. He said, well, at least do this one. So I said, okay. I left there, and I got it filled. I got the bottle at home, and it sat on my cabinet, and I looked at it. And I had no peace about giving it to him. And I was like, no, we're not doing this. I pushed it aside. I said, no, we're not doing this. Whereas in the other situation, I had tremendous peace, and I knew this was the path of God. This was just seemed wrong, and it was contrary to what I believed. I said, we're not doing this. I pushed it aside, and I meditated my scriptures, and I told Wyatt, this is not going to be something you're going to deal with forever. You are healed. The blood of Jesus has covered this. God has delivered you. I kept telling him this. I said, you just say, thank God I'm healed. Every time you feel this constriction, you feel this, thank God I'm healed. Now we put him on Claritin to help because there were some allergies. I said, we're going to, and when you take that pill, you say, thank God, thank God, thank God. Well, we went back, and there was that particular doctor wasn't there. There was a lady. We went back in 3 weeks this time, and she said, well, how's it going? And I said, well, I know I still did not feel that. I filled that prescription. We didn't take it. I said, I believe we're praying over him. I believe he'll be fine. We've done some things. We're giving him the Claritin. And she said, well, that's okay. You know, you're the mom. You do what's best. That's fine. Keep it up and come back in 3 weeks. So I felt good. I was like, okay, well, that's better. So we came back in 3 weeks' time, and then we saw the original doctor again. And he said, so basically you're giving him Claritin, and you have the rescue inhaler, and that's it. I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, we're going to redo the breathing test and go from there. And so they issued Wyatt the breathing test, and I could tell it's going better because you know, before he couldn't do it without wheezing and coughing, and I can tell he's just knocking this out of the park. I'm like, woohoo. And he said, well, his lungs are functioning at 100%. I don't know what happened, but you don't need to come back here. Goodbye. And we left, and that was it. But, you know, one thing that had happened about in between that time, I felt like we had a breakthrough moment. I don't know, because I had been meditating in this word. We had been saying this and been meditating. We had been saying this. And when I remember, we were pulling out of our driveway, and Wyatt was telling me about this attack that he had had at school during music class. Something had happened anyways, and he had had this attack. And this holy fury just bubbled up on the inside of me. Like, and I think, you know, whenever you're really in faith, whenever there's no thought of another outcome than what the God's word says. Like you, it's so concrete in your mind and in your heart. It's just like, it's overwhelming. And that came up out of, up in me, that this thing was still harassing him. Like it just made me angry. And I just reached over, grabbed a hold of his chest. And I said, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off him. You're defeated. It's not true. And I was like, you are healed. Well, when I did that, well, I was like, It happens all the time. So I just grab a hold of them when I need to and speak over them. But, I mean, you could feel the presence of God hit that car. And that thing was broken from that moment forward. It's really, right then, it was broken. But we got the word from the doctor 3 weeks later. And so then, you know, I'm leaving there. And so they gave me parting instructions like, you know, well, now that this has calmed down, he's fine, but it might happen again. And if it does, come back. You know, this and this might trigger it, and this might trigger it. And you probably all have to deal with this from now on and watch for these triggers. And as I'm leaving, I was thinking about that, and it just came up in my spirit. You know, that giant has been hit in the head with a rock, and it's fallen. While it's down, go over there and cut the head off. And I was like, that's right. That giant's not getting back up. He's done. And I begin to say, oh, no, you're done. You're done. You're done. You had your last breath. So, praise God.
You can give it to him. Amen. Well, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is anointed. It's the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. And so when people just know the truth for themselves because they've been taught the truth and because they've received the truth, then miraculous things are popping and happening all around. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'll adjust my message so that I don't keep you here long, long. All right? Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5, please. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'll wait for them to get it on the overhead before we read it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Interesting scripture. I saw some things about it I'd not seen before. You see it in your Bible or on the overhead? Examine your brother. Oh, wait a minute. Examine other people. You know, troll them on Facebook and see what they're thinking and wonder, what in the, why are they thinking that way? I don't understand why they think that. Examine, say it with me, yourselves. Amen. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Amen. Glory to God. You know, we have to be careful here about examining our brother and sister. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that we are judgmental and condemning and not forgiving, that'll all come back on us. What goes around comes around. Spiritually, what you sow, you reap. You know, amen. So we're very careful there. And that'll get you in a lot, open the door to the devil in your life, get you in a lot of trouble. So saying things like, I don't know why they said that, or I don't know why they did that. When we challenge other people's motives and we question their behavior, we are examining them, but this tells us to examine ourselves. Can you say amen? Well, to what end? To what end? Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Now, you know, and some people still say this, but as you read all of this, this is quite clear. You know, it's quite clear this is not the case. He's not saying test and see whether you're really born again or not. Paul is talking to spirit-filled, born-again Christians. They have been examining Paul, some of them, not all of them, but some of them have been testing Paul and examining Paul and challenging Paul and challenging his leadership and apostleship and so forth. He's going, hey, don't examine me, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. This is not saying to see if you really are a Christian or not, or to see if you still are a Christian. No, it's telling people who are already Christians to examine themselves to see if they are in the faith. Everybody say the faith. You have to understand, because, you know, we're a faith church, amen, but every time you see the word faith or the faith in the New Testament, it is not, does not mean it's talking about believing God or walking by faith instead of by sight or by confidently trusting in God. Every time you see the word faith, it's not being used that way. Sometimes the word faith or the faith is talking about the totality of the beliefs and doctrines of the Christian. In other words, the Christian faith. Amen. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I'm of the Baptist faith, or I'm of the Methodist faith, or I'm of the Pentecostal faith. What do they mean? That means that they live by and hold to a certain set of religious principles and a certain set of religious doctrines and beliefs that are held by the Baptist community, the Baptist people. So we call that the Baptist faith. Not talking about believing God. They're saying, no, this is the faith. In other words, the faith means a system of religious beliefs. People talk about, I'm of the Christian faith, or I'm of the Jewish faith. In other words, there are things that we as a Orthodox Jew believe, that's our faith. Amen. Or I'm of the Muslim faith. The Christian faith, that's what he's talking about here. The Christian faith is the truths, the beliefs, the teachings, and the doctrines that we hold to and accept. Amen. And so Paul says, hey, quit examining me and start examining yourself to see if you are really living according to what a Christian believes. You follow that? Amen. And we see this word used by Paul. We see the word faith being used this way in 2 Thessalonians 3:2 and in verse number 1 or verse number 2, chapter 3, verse number 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Paul says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have the faith. Meaning they don't all accept and live. See, I pray this about our political leaders. God deliver us from unreasonable and wicked. Sometimes I add stupid in there. God deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men and women, because not all have the faith. That one translation says the Christian system of belief. They don't always accept and live by Christian doctrines and standards. They don't think in line with Christian beliefs and so forth. One translation says, since not everyone shares our faith. Another says, not everyone is held by our faith. The Weiss translation says, for all do not possess the faith, capital F, the Christian system of belief. So here in 2 Thessalonians 13:5, what Paul is saying is, examine and test yourselves as to whether or not you are holding to and living by the Christian set of beliefs and doctrines and ways of thinking. Amen. Are you truly living by the doctrines and ideals of the Christian faith? The UBS Word Study says it this way. Instead of saying examine or test yourself, it says look carefully at yourselves, or ask yourselves and see and find out whether you are living as a Christian should be living. That's what Paul is saying. Hey, don't examine me. Don't test me. Look to yourselves. Examine yourselves and see whether or not you're living like a Christian should live. Amen. The Amplified Classic Bible says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Amen. So examine yourselves. Test yourselves. John won't like this story, but, you know, it just came to me when I was thinking about this message. But a couple of years back, you know, football yesterday, ups and downs, lows and highs. And Georgia was in the Final Four, and they played Texas, you know, and their famous quarterback, Baker Mayfield, was there. Quarterback's the Cleveland Browns today. And so Baker Mayfield, you know, when you're playing a big game like that, you know, Georgia had won the SEC championship. They beat Auburn in the SEC championship. They're in the Final Four. They're playing, you know, Oklahoma, who's in the Final Four. Baker Mayfield's there, well known in Heisman Trophy. Did he win the Heisman Trophy? Well, I think he won the Heisman Trophy. You know, he's their quarterback. And so the first 15 or 18 minutes, it was just shock and awe as they come out and just, and it just looked like, you know, when your team's 7-0 and you're playing the other team that's 7-0, you know, sometimes you're thinking, can we play with them? You know, that's what you're wondering. I mean, do we deserve to be on the field with them? And it looked like after 10 minutes, you know, that we didn't deserve to be on the field with Oklahoma. And they were just, you know, and in the end, Georgia beat them. But you know, it just looked like, man, they're just going to just beat us 42-0 or something. And so on the sidelines, Baker Mayfield was heard and seen saying something like, they ain't got anything for us. They ain't got anything for us. But at the end of the game, when Georgia had won the game, one of Georgia's great big linemen, you know, was halfway over the field looking toward Baker Mayfield, looking toward Baker. Huh? Baker Mayfield. Makerfield, Baker Mayfield, you know, because he had said that, and because Georgia's big thing with their program is you're only 1 week away from humility. Amen. And so he was looking at Baker, and he was screaming out, and they caught this on camera, and he was going, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. Amen. But so, you know, that just kind of explodes in my spirit this morning. Examine yourself. Not anybody else, but examine yourself. Test yourself. Am I living like a Christian should live? Am I talking like a Christian should talk? Am I living in line with Christian principles? Am I responding to ill treatment the way the Bible says a Christian is to respond? So we should test and examine our behavior, our words, and our motives, and our attitudes to make sure we're living in line with Christian truths and Christian principles. Examine yourself. Amen? You know, self-examination, not for the purpose of condemnation, certainly not for the purpose of self-righteousness, but self-examination in order to make sure we are truly obeying God and truly living for God and truly pleasing God like we should because we love Him. That's our motivation, because we love Him. That's a good thing. Everybody say, that's a good thing. Amen. Well, if we're going to examine ourselves as to whether or not we're operating in line with the Christian faith, then I think first and foremost, we have to make sure that we're walking in love. Because walking in love is the royal commandment, is called. It is, Jesus said, this is the commandment that I'm giving you as a New Testament Christian. And Paul said, if you keep this law, then you don't need any other laws. Because if I love you, I won't steal from you. If I love you, I won't cheat you. If I love you, I won't hurt you. If I love you, I won't talk bad about you. Amen. So love fulfills the spirit of the law and the prophets, loving God and loving one another. And in John 15:12, you know, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. The Amplified Bible says that you love, picking up on the true meaning of agape, says that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. I like that. That you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. Then I want to put that together with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. This is the Amplified Bible. Test yourselves, examine yourselves. Do not let unwholesome words, puts in parentheses, foul words, profane words, worthless words, vulgar words. Do not let unwholesome words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for the building up of others, according to the need and occasion, that it will be a blessing to those who hear you. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please Him by whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, test yourself, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, spitefulness, verbal abuse. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Amen. So if we're offended, if we're unkind, if our words are not edifying others, amen, then we're violating scriptures and we're not living up to the Christian set of beliefs. Amen. So examine yourself. Are your words, are your actions the words and actions of a Christian as outlined in the Word of God? Have you ever been offended at the car in front of you, anybody ever been offended at the car in front of you? You ever been offended at the car in front of you because they're driving 18 and then they'll bump it up to 25 and then they drive 22 and then they drive 18? But the problem is it's a 45 mile an hour speed limit. This morning. The Lord told me one time, He said, it's not their fault you're running behind. I said, ouch. So they're driving 20 and a 45 and you're mad at them. But then all of a sudden, you know, you discover that it's not really them, the car in front of you that's driving so slow. It's the one in front of them that you couldn't see. They were the ones driving slow. And so, you know, that kind of gets your attention because you're like, dear God, here I was fussing, fighting, cussing, not cussing, but, you know, saying the other things might be worse than cussing them. But here you are, you're offended. You've been offended, and you're offended at the wrong person. And one time I realized as I went around this big curve, it wasn't the person in front of them that I thought it was. It was actually the person in front of them that I couldn't see. So I was offended at the car in front of me, but he wasn't doing anything wrong. Then I got offended at the one in front of him because I thought he was the one. But actually, it was the one in front of him that I couldn't see. You know how the Bible says we're more than conquerors? You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. I thought, dear God, I'm more than wrong. I'm not just wrong. I'm more than wrong. The person I had my anger and offense at, not their fault. It's not the one in front of him. I'm more than wrong. Praise God. Amen. Well, examine yourself. I said, examine yourself. Maybe they're just an elderly driver. Maybe they're totally wrong. Maybe they shouldn't be so distracted. Maybe they shouldn't be texting me. Maybe they shouldn't be driving in the passing lane or whatever. But you know, scriptures don't tell us to just forgive those who are deserving. Forgive those who are deserving. Forgive those who are repentant. Forgive those who are really sorry for their bad actions. That's not what the scripture tells us, is it? It says no matter what the situation is, we're to forgive them, period. Everybody say, examine yourself. I am using this story just figuratively that you can apply to a lot more important situations. Although, you know, you can get out of love and offense just because of a car in front of you. Amen. I had a friend of mine one time got really, really, really mad at me. I mean, he's a good friend. He's really mad at me because I didn't return his phone calls. You know, because caller ID had just come out in the last 6 months, and he knew I had caller ID. He goes, well, he can see I'm calling him, and he's not returning my phone calls. Somebody says, well, bless God, why didn't you return his phone calls? Because, see, he's real mad about that. He's upset about it. He's offended at me by that. He's talking against me. He's telling people, I don't know why he won't, you know, that ain't right, all that kind of stuff, you know, especially his wife. Problem was, he was calling the wrong number. He wasn't calling my number. So I never knew he was calling me, you know. So he's offended at me, but in reality, I've done no wrong to him whatsoever. Amen. In reality, he's wronging me. He's offended at me, but I didn't get offended at him, but I'm the one that could be offended, you see, because he's wronging me. He's talking against me and accusing me of doing wrong. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Sometimes people really do us wrong. But you know, sometimes, and maybe as much as 20% of the time, think about this, maybe as much as 20% of the time, they didn't wrong us at all. We just imagined they did. We imagined they did because of our own insecurities, because of misinformation, because of misunderstanding, because of miscommunication. And then I think another, maybe is up to 20%, if we're totally honest, I mean, here we're in some kind of argument or some kind of strife or some kind of discord with somebody, and if we're totally, totally honest with ourselves, brutally honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we are partially responsible. Have you ever been brutally honest with yourself and realized you were totally responsible? And so, you know, here's maybe up to 30 or 40% of the time that the person really didn't wrong us at all. We just imagined it, or we're at least partially responsible. And then maybe another 10 to 15%, you know, the person honestly did not intend to harm us in any way whatsoever. You know, sometimes people can do you wrong, but the in their heart, they didn't mean to. That wasn't their intention at all. Heard a guy say one time making this point, he said, I was at a parade. Of course, parades are usually in the winter. I think this was a Christmas parade, might have been New Year's, and of course it's cold. He lived up north and it's really cold. And he says, I'm standing beside a guy and it's cold, and you know, it's in the, not even above freezing, and we're all out there standing with our coats on and everything, but the sun came out a little bit, so I guess it got a little warmer. He said, the guy beside me took off his coat and he slung it around, and he said, it just slapped me right in the face. Well, you know, he had on his big leather winter coat and his face is already, you know, whatever from the cold. He said, I kind of bowed up, and he said, I realized that he had no idea that he even did it. Didn't even know he did it. Well, you think you could forgive somebody that didn't even mean to do it to you? That was kind of weak. I said, can you forgive somebody? Didn't he? Examine yourself. Glory to God. Amen. I said, amen. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Regardless, do we forgive, period? Do we give the other person the benefit of the doubt? Do we believe the best of others? Do we respond with kindness? Do we admit our part in the wrong? Are we tenderhearted and kind and forgiving like this one passage we read? Examine yourself to see if your behavior and your attitudes and your words and your motives line up with Scriptures. Examine yourself. Test yourselves whether or not you be in the faith. The Scriptures tell us that as a Christian, we should submit to biblical authority. We have to. We should have no part of darkness, the evil works of darkness. We should stay full of the Spirit. The Scriptures tell us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Jesus told us to love our enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you. Well, concerning these and all other Scriptures that instruct us and admonish us and command us, we should always examine ourselves to see if we are in reality holding to and living by the Christian set of beliefs and doctrines. And I'm just going to close with this. This is a short message. I'm going to close with these injunctions to Christian husbands and wives because this is important. Just one Scripture written to part of us to husbands, part of us to wives. Now, here's the deal. Examine who? So as I read these instructions to the husband, the wife is not to sit there and go and examine him. And the husband's not to sit there and examine his wife. You are to do your part. Wives come into me and husbands come into me over the years for counseling and I always have to say, listen. I'm talking to you, husband, about what you should do. Don't tell me what your wife's doing wrong. Let's talk about what you can do right. Because if you'll do right and you'll do according to the Word of God, and you'll do it with pure motives, and you'll do it in love, and you'll do it in faith, when you do right, it will cause her to want to do her part, and vice versa. So here's something just to examine ourselves this morning, husbands and wives. This is the conclusion. This is Ephesians 5:33, which is the conclusion of what Paul's been teaching on in Ephesians chapter 5. Very powerful few verses there on husbands and wives. This is a combination of the Amplified and the Amplified Classic because the putting these two together perfectly, I think, captures the Greek and captures the intent of this passage. So here's what it says. Each man, each husband, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self with behavior that is worthy of respect and esteem. She doesn't respect me. She doesn't honor me. She doesn't, you know, well, you got to give her something to respect. Each man, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, amen, with behavior that is worthy of respect and esteem. Oh, by God, she's just going to do. I know what the Bible says, but you know you don't. She's just going to do what I say no matter what. With behavior that is worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. And let the wife examine yourself. Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. All things being equal, if you'll do that, women, you can turn him into anything you want him to be. Amen. One woman said, you know, and she used that scripture. She also used Peter. She said, you know, I was all upset about my husband and how wrong he was, but God took me to 1 Peter 2:3 where it says, wives, likewise be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, that without a word they may be won by the chaste conduct of their wives. He said, winning my husband without a word was a new concept to me. And it goes on to say, you know, how you do that and talk about that. She said, God took me to those scriptures and kept me there for 6 months. And what she's in essence saying is, I quit thinking about how wrong he was, and I just started focusing on what I should do in my part in obeying these scriptures. And she said, a miraculous thing happened. I got a brand new husband. He totally changed because she did her part. Now, I know because other people have a will that that's not always the case, but that's a different subject. But anyway, each one is to do their part. Glory to God. So when it comes to these scriptures in Ephesians 5:33 or any of the others that we mentioned, with these scriptures and injunctions and commands or any others, we should always examine ourselves and make sure we're in line with the Christian system of belief. Never, as I'm closing with this, never, never, never be afraid to examine your life in the light of scriptures. I said, never be afraid to examine your life in the light of scriptures. Always be brutally honest with yourself. Amen. And then be quick to repent and quick to be corrected and quick to change. If you'll do that, you'll grow, you'll mature, you'll get blessed, and you'll be a blessing and someone that's extremely, extremely useful and productive and fruitful in God's kingdom. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you can be so mad at your boss, and you can go to the Lord with it and be brutally honest with yourself, and the Lord will say, your problem is you just don't submit to authority. Lord, that's not what I wanted to hear. But if you'll be brutally honest with yourself, who will that benefit? Who will that help? Amen? Who will that save all kind of... People that are not submissive to authority are headed for a lot of trouble in life. Husbands that don't treat their wives right are headed for a lot of trouble in life. Wives that don't respond to their husband's love are headed for a lot of trouble. People that don't walk in forgiveness are headed for a lot of trouble in a lot of ways. So we never lose out by being honest with ourselves and by examining ourselves. Would you just close your eyes, bow your heads, close your eyes, honor God, block everything out just for a moment? Is there any area in your life or any areas in your life that just right off the bat, you know you're not in line with the Christian faith. You know you're not in the faith in the sense that you're not operating in line and holding to and living by the principles, godly principles. Any area? Then like we said, be quick to repent. Quick to receive correction. Oh, there's so many scriptures about correction in the Bible, but, you know, Proverbs 12:1 says, he who hates reproof and correction is brutish. He who hates correction and reproof is brutish. Let me give you a modern day translation of brutish. Stupid. And a lot of translations translate it that way. In other words, you're like a brute beast. You know, you're trying to help the dumb animal. Trying to, you know, keep it safe in some way, but it just won't do what you're trying to get it to do. That's what he's saying. If he who hates reproof and correction is stupid. Contemporary English version says, to accept correction is wise. To reject it is stupid. Correction saves our lives in so many ways. Amen. Glory to God. So it's always a great time to do some self-examination and to judge ourselves. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. To receive correction can save your financial life. It can save your marital life. It can save your mental life. It can save your physical health. And most importantly, it can save your ability to be fruitful in God's kingdom and be a blessing and a help and do your part in God's kingdom successfully. So just examine yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following God? Are you doing what God's called you to do in life? Are you doing what you do for the right motive and the right purpose? Hallelujah. People who examine themselves are blessed and helped. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We'll say, how do I examine myself? Well, if you see something that's not right, you just simply say, God, forgive me. I know that's not right. I ask you to forgive me in the name of Jesus. You don't blame shift. It's not your uncle's fault. It's not so-and-so's fault because they're a hypocrite. What's that got to do with you? I hear by the Spirit of God, what in the world does that have to do with you? What they do or don't do is between me and you. Hallelujah. Said that in my own vocabulary, but that's what God was saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you just simply look up and say, God, I'm on your side. I love you. Praise God. I want to do right. Praise God. I'm testing myself. Glory to God. I hadn't been treating my wife right, but I'm going to start. I hadn't been responding to my husband right, but I'm going to start. I've been when I'm on the road, like the pastor was joking about, I'm almost getting my car, and a spirit of road rage comes on me the second I get in. Well, that ain't right. I use these examples because people can relate to them, but I'm telling you, don't think I'm full of road rage when I'm in my car. I'm not. I was getting close, but I realized how wrong that was. You want to be responsible for somebody else's death because you were operating in road rage? Are you kidding me? Hallelujah. And God is wonderful. God is wonderful when we make the decision to do right, to then help us. And then you know, sometimes to crucify the flesh, that hurts. Sometimes, you know, Jesus talked about cut off your right, you know, cut it off. He's not talking about physically cut off your arm or poke out your eye, but he's saying there's some things in your flesh that are detriment to you, that are hurtful, that are harmful, but if you'll make the decision to do it, I'll heal it up. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, you can look up at me. Amen. Praise God. See, doers of the word are what? Blessed. Doers of the word are what? So we either examine ourselves and respond accordingly, or we don't. But I believe you did and you are. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Lift your hands and praise God and thank Him. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I will not waste 1 minute examining another person. Whatever they do, or don't do is between them and you, Father. But I will examine myself in the light of the Scriptures. Father, I'm open. I'm open to receive any advice, any counsel, any rebuke, any correction from you. Because I know it's for my good. And because correction helps me. So that I might better live for you and please you in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We love you. We love you. We love you. So glad to see you this morning. We appreciate you. We appreciate you if you was watching online. God bless you. Amen. Go in the goodness and power and love and mercy and good stuff of God. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.